Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Turn over to Mark chapter 11. The last few times last couple times for sure that I've ministered, I've started here Mark chapter 11 and talking about the subject of faith. The Lord dealt with me in my own life personally to get back to the basics, to reestablish those basic ideas and principles of faith in my own life. And as I'm doing it, it just seems good to me to be sharing some of those things because, first of all, not everyone has been studying faith and has learned faith for 34 and a half years like I have. You understand that? So everybody's at a different place, wherever you are. Some of you are longer than me, some of you shorter than me, all of us. And so we want to teach on these things and look at them. Tonight, our subject tonight is speaking words of life. Speaking words of life. Now here in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. And of course, we have I've got a note in my Bible, have the faith of God. Now, I had a student ask me the other day, how can God have faith? Who does God have faith? Well, God has faith in and of himself. But when we're talking about having the faith of God, it's saying do things the way God does them. You understand that? And certain, you know, verse 23, this is how God does things. All right. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And so just in reading these things, here notice again that in verse 23, faith is released through words, through what you say. Now last time we made the connection between believing in your heart and saying it with your mouth. All right? It's what you believe in your heart and say with your mouth that's going to come to pass. Now notice here, he said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, this mountain. That brings out the idea of a specificness to this mountain. Now notice he didn't say, ask God to say anything to the mountain. He said, you speak to the mountain. He didn't say, ask your pastor, ask your neighbor, ask your brother. He said, whosoever, you say to the mountain, this mountain. The mountain here represents whatever it is, according to this, that you don't want there anymore. That doesn't belong. Say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. And like the one translation says, if you don't become separated from your statement, you will actuate what you said. In other words, you will receive what you said if you stay connected to it. So we've read that scripture, and there's so many, you know, there's so many things there. But for time's sake, and you know, we want to move on and say some other things. Let's look again at Matthew chapter 12. We've looked at that. Words are important. I know that in the early days of my Christian walk, which began in June 30th, 1980, which was a Monday night, for those of you that wondered. Those of you that didn't, you got it anyway. But words were very, very important. Confession, you know, and making a good confession. What you said was very... Now, I think it would be great in the body of Christ and if we'd return to that, our camp, if we'd return to watching what we say, but without all the judgment. You know, no, I haven't found anywhere in the Bible that anybody's been given the gift of confession police. Right? I mean, it's not my job to watch over your confession. Now, if you come to me and ask me for help or we want some, I can listen to you talk and probably pinpoint where we got a problem. But that doesn't make, you know, I'm not going to go around and everybody I hear say something that's contrary to the word of God. Oh, you know, just jump down their throat and, you know, make people, you know, you get kind of, you know, you just wonder who's going to hit you next. Where did no, that's not our job. Glory to God. But I do want to encourage us. I know with me, I encourage myself to be careful and be thinking about what I'm saying, not just saying everything and wondering why things aren't working. Now here in verse 37, Matthew 12, 37, for by, the King James says, thy, your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Not your words, my words. What I say is going to justify me, or it's going to condemn me. Now, that's gonna make sense as we go along here about, I want you to remember, justified is going to be equal with life. Condemnation is going to be equal with death in what we're talking about here. Romans chapter 4. There's many, many scriptures that talk about what we say. Now, Brother Hagin would point out that faith can be released by saying it. And in Mark 11, 24, faith can be released by praying it. But when you pray it, you say it. So it is important that we speak what we believe. Now here in Romans chapter 4, we'll start to get into this about how our words can cause life. We can speak words of life. Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now this is what God said to Abram, right? Before him whom he believed, even God. The King James says here, who quickens the dead, literally, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. Now, because of the way it's constructed here, I think we can see the way that God brings life to what is dead is he uses words. He calls things that be not as though they were. So, you know, God didn't look at a situation and say, well, that's bad. You know, basically, I heard, if you ever read any Brother Capps' stuff, Charles Capps, you know, he in his God's Creative Power and the Tongue of Creative Force, you read those, and he talks about the Lord spoke to him, I believe it was in 1973, that I told my people they could have what they say, and they've been saying what they have. Amen. You know, you can even get caught in that in prayer. Now, you know, God knows your situation. And God's not in denial, okay? We're not talking about denying what's going on. But we don't need to spend our time, we spend all of our time rehearsing what's going wrong and then say, oh, God, you know, what can you? No. Amen. God, you know, we can go to God with the answer, and that's found in his word here. But quickens the dead, gives life to the dead, calls those things that be not as though they were. Now, let's look over to Hebrews chapter 11. God uses his words and has used his word to create all things and to frame, if it will, the age that we live in, the world that we live in. And since we're created in the image of God, we have been given that same ability and authority to speak words out of our mouth. And you know, the animal kingdom can't speak words. You understand that? They may have some type of communication abilities, but they don't speak. All right? The words like we can speak. They can't speak necessarily unless God moves on a donkey, you know, and causes him to speak. But as far as that, they're just, I haven't had very many conversations with. Now, some of you talk to your, I guess I do talk to my dog. I wish the dog would answer back every once in a while. Are you getting what I'm trying to tell you? Just looks at you, you know. All right. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, sometimes, you know, we read that. It goes on to say, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Notice here, that's the same as saying he called those things that be not as though they were. Now, framed by the word of God, if we're not careful sometimes, we think, and it is the word of God, I'm not saying it isn't, but we think that that it's just a written book, when actually these things were spoken first. You understand? God, it wasn't written in Genesis 1 and God said. God actually said. He actually said, let there be light. It just wasn't written down. God actually said that. That's why it's recorded there. So when it says he framed the world with his words, he actually spoke words that framed his world. And he brought things He brought those things into existence. Things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, he brought things out of his realm. And God is life, see? He brought them, when he speaks words, remember what Jesus said in John 6, verse 63, he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. When God speaks, because he is life, every word that God speaks is full of life. You see? All right, now Hebrews chapter 4. God is concerned and is watching over what it is we say. He's there, Jesus has been given, Simon, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. After he's talked about how alive the Word of God is. See, that's why you understand this. When I speak what the Word of God says concerning my life, I'm speaking life. Because that Word is already full of life. See, don't, if you're going to quote somebody, quote God. Well, you know, Facebook said, I don't care what Facebook said, what did God say? I know one minister was talking to somebody one time, and this person said, well, you know, like the song said. I don't care what the song said, what did the God's word say? Because if I say what God's word says about the situation, I'm speaking life to that situation. Verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Same word as confession. Holding fast to it. Now notice here, Jesus, he's talking about the high priestly ministry, the current ministry of the Lord Jesus in the heavens. He's there on our behalf. One place it says he ever lives to make intercession for us. Notice that we are to hold fast to our confession of what? Of him as being Lord and Savior in every area of our life. Hold fast to that. When something rises up that's not, and say, wait a minute. Jesus is Lord over my body. By his stripes. See, speak to it. Just don't. Sometimes, you know, David, when David faced Goliath, he didn't go there with his mouth shut. Now, of course, if you're going to speak death, then keep your mouth shut. Take a lock, right? But if you're going to speak life, that's why don't ever go into battle without the word of God in your mouth. The Bible likens it to a two-edged sword. So now let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let's get into this issue of the life. Now, you know, first of all, when I say this name, I've already dated myself. But if I say to you, Doris Day, all right, first of all, let's say, how many of you, you don't, if I, Doris Day, you have no idea who Doris Day is. Let me see your hand, no idea. Rich, you never heard of Doris Day? No, you haven't. You have heard of her. I was going to say, Rich, you're 84 years old. You had to heard of Doris Day. Doris Day used to sing a song, Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. And a lot of people think that's what life is. That it's just going to happen. But you know what? The Word of God doesn't say that. I just don't have to have life happen to me. You don't have to let life happen to you. Because God has given us a choice. Look here in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed may live. Now notice here, would you agree with me that life and blessing go together? And death and cursing go together. Now, thank God Jesus has delivered us from the curse of the law, hasn't he? And the Bible says we're blessed. And I always think of it this way. You can't curse, and one prophet said it in the Old Testament, you can't curse whom God has blessed. Hallelujah. He's already done that. But we have a choice. Choose life. Now, how are we going to make that choice? Well, Proverbs chapter 18. You've read this before probably, or I think we read it even last time. Few Sunday nights ago, and January 4th was that last time we, but here in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20 and 21. Now again, I'm not trying to teach something new here. I'm trying to, now to some of you it might be new, and that's fine. If it's new, hey, grab hold of it. So these scriptures are not necessarily new, you know, but they are full of life, glory to God. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. My life, your life, is a result of what we have said out of our mouth. It's the increase of our lips shall be filled. See, the increase comes from words. Now look at verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life. Now, in Deuteronomy, he said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Then he gives us a hint. Choose life. I like that. Amen. Don't you like it when you get a hint on the test question? You got a test question. Then there it says, oh, yeah, by the way, answer A. Now, and that's what God said. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. When you choose life, blessing follows. Well, how am I going to do that? Well, he said, life, he says here, and death are under the authority of the tongue, my words, what I say out of my mouth. Amen. Now, for some of us, like I said, you know, being around and hearing this for over 30 years now, you know, in June it'll be 31 years of hearing. I mean, I cut my teeth on this stuff when I became a Christian, you know, raised in church. But when I got born again, this is the teach I was listening to. Listening, reading Brother Hagin's books and watching Brother Copeland on TV, and he's telling all Brother Hagin's stories, you know. So that's how I got to Rhema. I thought, well, if he's going to tell the stories, I want to go hear the real, you know. So I got here through that in the fall of 82 there. And but if you're not careful, you let these things slip. And you catch yourself, and sometimes you hear yourself saying things, you say, I never would have said that. Right? And so I'm just, in these things, it is so important. That's one of the reasons I've had the great opportunity. I'm so blessed to the Lord to have the opportunity to have traveled to a lot of different nations of the world, but to a lot of places, like where the Andrews are and they're in Brazil, where Guto and his family are, and Bud and Jan Ride, the work they've done there. And to see the result, first of all, they had to speak the word out of their mouth for their own self, but then to see the effect that doing that and then teaching that has had, not only on their, but on the entire nation. There's something happening in South America. I'm telling you, there's something happening down there. In all these, there's revival. They're saying, well, and one of the main things that I hear being taught is this message of faith. And speaking the word, speaking words of life. And it's not just the minister's responsibility, every Christian. You know, God's not, he wants life for everyone. And it's encouraging to see that take place. Now go to James chapter 3. James made an interesting statement about something that proceeds out of our mouth. There's a lot that James says. I just want to look at one verse tonight to show you that things haven't changed just because we're in a new covenant concerning our ability and our right to choose words of blessing or words of cursing. Words of blessing then are words of life. Words of cursing are words of death because they go together. Now here in James 3 verse 10, look what this says. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Now he's writing this to Christians. Notice, Christians, out of the same mouth, speak words of blessing. We praise God, but out of the same mouth, we speak words of cursing. He said, brethren, these things ought not to be so. That ought not be what is going on in our life. Well, obviously, it's not it's not supposed to be that we're speaking words of cursing. So the obvious thing is we're supposed to be speaking words of blessing, words of life, right? That's what we're supposed to be speaking, words of life. And then who has the right? I have the ability given from God, God-given ability, and the God-given right to choose my own words. No one make me say anything. You understand? Even, you know, I know in being filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, some folks have missed it because they thought God was going to make them speak. But they spoke. You speak. It's your choice. All right, so let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 and just look at a few things there. I want you to notice what God did here because we're created in His image. Now, I didn't say you were God, did I? And I'm not God, but we are created in the image of God. And we've been given the rights to do what God said. Go back to that statement. Have the God kind of faith. Because that's what the original Greek said. Have the God kind of faith. Well, is that possible? Why is it in the Word if it's not possible? Why would I be told to have the God kind of faith if it was impossible? And the God kind of faith calls things that be not as though they were. The God kind of faith speaks to the mountain, tells it to be removed. The God kind of faith speaks life and blessing. So here in Genesis chapter 1, there, you know, first two verses talks about, you know, what happened there. But then in verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Notice that. God didn't say, it's dark. Because he didn't want darkness. He wanted there to be light. So he said, light be. Right? Drop down here to verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters. And of course, everything God said here. Now, no, you're going to see it. It's not a waste of words. There's a point here that God's making to us. Verse 9, and God said. Verse 11, and God said. Verse 14, and God said. Verse 20, and God said. And then verse 24, and God said. And then he gets to verse 26. And God said, Elohim, the plural Hebrew word for God there. And Elohim said, let us, not angels, let us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. How is dominion over death and over cursing exercised? Through the words of our mouth. We've been given the right to exercise authority. Okay, notice that God said something. He goes on there, and verse 28, God blessed him. Verse 29, and God said. And everything was good, according to verse 31. All right. Now go to Ezekiel 16 with me. So, we can begin. Begin where you are. How many of you know you can't begin where you're not? You have to begin where you are. That's a deep revelation there. Any of you, you know, tried to begin where you used to be and you hurt yourself? Exercise programs? When I was in middle school and in high school, I could go out and run 5-10 miles, no problem. Now maybe 5-10 minutes, maybe. That's sad. See, but you can't. You are where you are. Ezekiel 16, look at verse 6. And when I passed by you, and I saw you polluted in your own blood, I said unto you when you were in your blood, live. I said unto you when you were in your blood, live. What's he saying there? He spoke life to the situation. He didn't go on and give a great soliloquy of how horrible the bloody and how bloody they were. He said to them, live. Live. And God does it. You know, Jesus standing at the tomb of Lazarus, it's recorded in John chapter 11, said, Lazarus, come forth. And that's all he said. It's probably a good thing he said Lazarus, or every grave in the whole area probably would have popped open. But he was specific. It's like saying to this mountain, he said to that dead man, Lazarus, come forth. Do you remember when they said, the ones they said, oh, Jesus, by now he stinks. I like the King James. He stinketh. That's a great King James word. Jesus, he said, didn't I tell you that your brother would live again? Oh, I know you are. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Not so. He said, I am right now. Lazarus, and he said, move that stone out of the way. And when Lazarus came forth, he said, loose him, let him go. Notice, how did he do that? How did he raise? With his words. He gives life to the dead by calling things to be. Lazarus dead, he can't come forth. Lazarus, come forth. He said to the man, take up your bed and walk. That man can't walk. He had to be let down through the roof. But Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. I saw as a meeting one time, and I saw a worship leader singing, "Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus." And as he was singing, "Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus," this woman, she just got up out of her wheelchair and started walking. She couldn't walk. They interviewed her afterwards. What? Well, the man said, "Rise and be healed." I just got up. I just did what he said. See, you can speak your own faith-filled words, but you can act on the faith-filled words spoken by others. If you'll act on it, the command given under the anointing, it'll produce results in your life. How many times do you see somebody, "Receive your healing, receive your healing, in Jesus, receive your healing"? Well, just do it. Don't disagree with it. You ought to say right there, "I receive my healing. Glory to God." And once you've received it, you don't have to receive it again. You already got it, right? "I received it. It's I receive it now. I've received it." Well, you got, "No, I've received it." Amen. Hallelujah. Now, go to Ezekiel 37 just real quick. Now, this is the story of the dry bones. But I want you to notice here, just real quickly. We don't have time for that. Hallelujah. I'm going to go by that clock, not this one, because that gives me an extra minute than what my iPad's giving me. So I'm going to go by that. Now, here in Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 10 is the whole story. And there's this valley. He saw this valley of dry bones. Verse 3, and he said, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "Lord God, you know." And he said to me, "Prophesy upon these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." So speaking words of life is speaking the word of the Lord. I just want to make that point with you. "Thus says the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live." Verse 7 says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. And he said unto me, prophesy." When you prophesy, you speak by divine inspiration, God's word. He said, "Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." Now notice, you know, God could have just, but he had the man speak to him. Verse 10, "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, and an exceeding great army." But notice how that took take place. God gave a man the right and the privilege to speak his words, and when he spoke his words, a great miracle took place. But notice what he said, "Live, prophesy, I speak unto you, and you shall live, live." So what situation, I'll challenge you, look at your situations in your life right now. You got situations in your life are not a blessing, then they're a curse. And they're attached to death. Start speaking life to those situations. You got parts of your body that aren't working right. Start speaking, "Knee, I say, I speak life to you in the name of Jesus." You start working. "Arthritis, you get out of there in Jesus' name. Be removed. Get out of my knee." Man, and just start speaking life to it. Don't put up with that. Don't put up with those things. You don't have to put up with anything. Jesus paid a price. Set us free. We are the redeemed of the Lord. I like the word of God says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Hallelujah. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed from sin. I'm redeemed from sickness and disease. I'm redeemed from poverty and lack. I'm redeemed from eternal hell. Hallelujah. And I'm going to say so. Glory to God. Let's all stand up together. Amen. Speak words of life. Glory to God. Now, there's so much more to say about these things. And as the Lord enables, we'll look at some of these aspects. But constantly feed yourself in these things. Constantly be encouraging yourself. And hey, how about this? Let's encourage others too. Let's speak words of life to others. Hallelujah. Quit telling them how bad they are and how, you know. I never, faith people come up to you and say, supposed faith people, "Oh, you look horrible." You know. I wonder what would happen if anybody ever told Wigglesworth that. They might have got him a good sermon. Oh, my. I don't ask Wigglesworth how he looks. I mean, I can just see. Come on down, prayer team. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Speak words of life. Glory to God. Well, In order to be in that position and choose life and be able to speak the word of God as the child of God, the Bible says you must be born again. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just a moment, we're going to dismiss. I'm going to ask you to come on down and pray. Ladies with the ladies, men with the men, come on down and pray with them. If you got any situation that you want to be prayed with according to the word of God, which the word of God is life, these folks will pray with you. That's how they're going to pray with you, according to God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. Connection team, if you'll find our first time guest, you might ask them if they're, you know, if they want prayer, might have to bring them this way first, but take them, get them that special gift. Hallelujah. Remember, come back Sunday morning. This Sunday is when we have the new members, 8:40, right? 8:45, 8:40. And be over there by 9. Be there early for pictures. Yeah, at 8:40, be over there. SCC, and then the class will start at 9 o'clock. If you get there late, it's too late. You got to see the whole thing, okay? So be early. Start saying, I'm on time all the time. Where's all the students? We need to start saying that all the time. Call things to be not as though they were. All right, everything good? Gentlemen, we good? Be here Sunday morning. Pastor will be here ministering the word of God. God bless you. Amen. You are dismissed. Come on down if you need prayer for anything.